When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome once again to another edition of the Chelsea Podcast. I'm Chaz, and as ever, I have the marvellous Mooch with me. How are you, pal?
I'm good, mate. I'm very good.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite odd to start off one of these conversations without going, it's been a bit rubbish, isn't it? It's weird. What is this strange feeling? It's like
2018, 17. You know what I mean? Like years have gone by where we're just sort of like confident in our team's ability. But also maybe it's the sunshine. I don't know.
It's a combination, definitely. And we are very pleased to welcome back a friend of mine, friend of the show, Mr. Rob Ray. Rob, good to have you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Very good. As Mooch says, sun's out. We're winning. Can't be beaten, can it?
Yeah, now you and I have spoken several times during the course of the, well, maybe not, you know, in our groups, in our WhatsApp groups and what have you, across the course of the year when you've said, you know, we have to get used to the fact, chaps, that Chelsea are a mid-table team and we're bang average, et cetera, et cetera. And I've agreed with you.
Oh, yeah.
Are you having to revise your opinion now?
I don't know yet. I mean, the point is, you know, we are the sort of resident misery guts in our WhatsApp group. That's
true.
Definitely true. I'm still not convinced. At halftime, again, the Villa game, I went on a sort of social media rant about how this was going to be it for the next 10 years because the owners had to go and everything. And of course, since then we've been brilliant. I think it's fair to say we're not bang average. I think it's fair to say that we are better than mid-table, and when it clicks, we are beginning to look actually a pretty good football team. Mm. I'm worried that it isn't going to click every game. We've been very lucky in the games we've played against the teams we've actually come up against. We've played teams at the right time when they're in a trough of poor form, or that they've given up on the season. On the other hand, you still got to beat them. You still got to win. The moves are still going to work, and we do look very, very good when it all comes together.
Well, that's it. I mean, the thing that's been most heartening, I suppose, has been the fact it's not just the results. So we've said, you know, we've been saying this for weeks now. We went from our worst result of the season, certainly our worst result against Arsenal, to three of our best performances, and. Although I understand where you were coming from at halftime against Villa, you know, I do think overall that was a pretty darn good performance as well. And second half was clearly better, but even the first half I thought was good. Mooch, why now? Where's this Chelsea been hiding for the past 8 months? Why is it coming together?
I think you've got to put it down to a number of factors that are just sort of clicking. One, there's a confidence in that team. You know, we're playing a bit more as a team. We all thought this would happen a bit earlier in the season, but it seems to be happening now. There has been a bit of a Conte moment as well, you know, with sort of how we are shaping up as a team, and potentially we may have found a solution, maybe a temporary solution, maybe a permanent solution with, you know, these inverted wing backs thing, which seems to be shoring up our midfield, which it is obviously being one of the problems for our leaky defence, because we've got good defenders there, and you can't put all the blame down on them when they're just being exposed. And also, you know, there is an element of luck to these things. You know, if you there's a couple of points in the games where, you know, if we had maybe let a goal in, then the results may be different. But after this season, we need this luck. You know, we're due this luck, and it's nice to see that there is a bit of momentum and a positive end to the season. And also, you know, we have to give Poch a bit of credit as well. You know, he's been under a lot of pressure, and he has managed to get performances out of these players. Eventually,
I think it has been coming. I think we've been getting better slowly since the debacle that week when we lost to Liverpool and lost to Wolves and got slaughtered, and it all looked like it was falling apart. I've thought since then we've actually looked slightly better. We've been certain little signs, like Caicedo playing slightly better, the movements getting slightly better, the results were good. The two Wembley performances, I know we lost them both, but we did look good against Man City. We did look good against Liverpool. But for better finishing, we could be there. Now, I think the other thing that's changed is that there were times this season where we did look fast and fluid, and it looked as if that we were playing well. And then we'd concede, and suddenly you could see the confidence just drain out of them. And it doesn't drain out of them now. You know, we concede, and it's like, fair enough, we're going to score another one. You know, we could have lost it all against Man United a couple of weeks back, and we didn't. We came back at them. We could have lost it all against Villa when we were two down at half time. We didn't. We came back. And I think maybe that strikes me as a bit of resilience has come in, a bit more sort of a bit more trusting in ourselves, a bit more trusting in our own ability. Maybe that's the difference.
There does seem to have been a real uptick in the kind of bloody mindedness of the team, hasn't there? You know,
definitely.
I mean, the Villa game being a good case in point, it would have been very, very easy for us to crumble there, and actually the way we came back was impressive. Mooch, sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just going to make a stupid joke. It's basically...
It's basically
the boys are becoming men. It's kind of they're sort of growing up and playing more as a team. And I think it's good to see. Like, you're seeing it from Nonny. Is got a bit more of a substance to his game. He looks really dangerous, and he's getting goal involvement. So I think it's just could have come a bit earlier in the season. Saying that, if we have looked at the results from January, we are fourth in the league, and I hate all this sort of nonsense that
but you know, ifs and buts for pots and pans.
But you have to look at, okay, cool, for this chunk of the season or this calendar year, we've been actually a top four side. It has felt not like that at points.
Well, the Sheffield United and Burnley games didn't make it feel like that.
No.
But if you take a macro view of it all, you know, we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, well, let's look at the specifics of the last couple of games, and then we'll talk about perhaps a little bit more about what's made that happen. What's, you know, the factors behind that? Is it personnel? Is it a blend of personnel? Is it just growing confidence, et cetera, et cetera? But I mean, I don't think any of us were terribly confident about the Spurs game, and
I predicted we'd win.
And, well, you did, yeah. And when you looked at the, I was the only person who predicted we'd beat West Ham, though. when you looked at the thinness of the squad, I mean, it was quite remarkable. And it was literally a case of, you know, everyone with proper first team experience is on the pitch, and on the bench is literally, you know, with the exception of the Casadei, who's 21 years old.
You did worry that if we went down or if we needed something that wasn't there. But
exactly. I mean, it might have, hey, maybe that would have been a time for the kids to come on and show how brilliant they were. But it didn't have to happen. Our starting 11 did do a fantastic job. The first half in particular, I thought, was amazing. Real good energy, good pressing. We held on to the ball well, which we quite haven't done. Now, okay, I said we weren't going to talk about formations and what have you, but Mooch, you brought up the inverted wing-backs. Cucurella moving inside to help Caicedo when we have the ball, when we're in possession, which I suppose has the knock-on effect of freeing up Connor. That seems to be a thing that is again, I wasn't going to talk about the specific personnel, but, you know, Cucurella, I thought, had a really, and we've, and, you know, Rob's nodding, and we, amongst many others, we have been the first people to slag him off. We'll do again.
I had a very choice word for Cucurella when the own goal went in against Villa.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to repeat on here. it begins in the same letters as Cucurella, is all I'll say. Now, I'm amazed. I mean, he's like a player transformed. And it's what's even better is he's not just turned into a good player. He's turned into two good players. And so we've now got 12 players on the pitch, effectively. It's quite ridiculous. Where did this extra midfielder come from? I didn't realise what was happening until about halfway through the Tottenham game, or halfway through that half. And I suddenly turned to the guy next to me and said, hang on a second, where's Cucurella playing? And sure enough, he drops back and he goes to the left. And, you know, when we lose the ball and then when we go forward, he's in the midfield. And it's fantastic. And I think one of the this is where it comes through as a sort of tactical masterstroke by Pochettino, is the thing about Cucurella, and this still remains, is that he has no sense of defensive positioning whatsoever. He runs around everywhere. So Pochettino's obviously seen this and he said, right, okay, let's make the most of that. Let's let him run around everywhere and just tend to run back to the left back position when we're actually conceding. And it works a dream. I mean, he was out on the right wing against West Ham at one point, and it was astonishing. He's literally transformed. He's two players in one. Fantastic.
I mean, he's seeing a lot more of the ball, and, you know, you never know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but actually, you know, it really does seem to have that extra body in midfield. Does seem to be an incredible. I mean, the flip side of that coin is, do we ever want to see Enzo playing alongside? not do we not ever want to see Enzo again? That would be cruel. But do we ever actually want to see Enzo playing alongside Caicedo again? Is that likely to happen again? Because, you know, we do seem to have been a side transformed since he's, you know, we've taken that responsibility away from him.
I think Enzo's got to work out a role for himself. I don't know what you think, Mooch, on this one.
Well, I mean, I think it's what's best for the team is best for what's going to happen. I don't think, you know, it's the end of his time here with us by any stretch of the imagination. I think when you've got a player of that quality, and he proves it still at international level, he will maybe find his way, maybe reinvent himself in the same way that Cucurella has, and you know that maybe it's a different sort of pairing with a different midfielder. We've got other midfielders as well, and we're going to have a lot more games to sort of play next season. Maybe Palmer doesn't hit the same vein of form that he has this season, God forbid. But you know, there's strength and depth there, which is important when you're hopefully challenging for top four.
Well, what role does he play? I mean, this is the thing. I mean, he's I think he wants to play sort of further back and be a sort of defensive, like a Xavi figure.
Quartista.
Exactly. But there's not going to be the room for that, I don't think. Do we then sort of play him further forward, especially if Gallagher goes? Do we then sort of play him behind the front three and see if he can sort of control play from there, which isn't going to... I'm not sure that's going to suit him. I mean, I've seen one technical analysis saying that he doesn't thrive in a team which plays fast one-touch football, which is what we seem to be aiming at. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know enough about his play to know. I'm sure that as a world-class player, he can pretty much cope with anything that's thrown at him. But he has to find a role if he's going to be crucial to this team, and he should be.
Well, let's also say this, of course, you know, he's been playing for goodness knows how long with painkilling injections. You know, it's all transpired very late in the day. I've found this out, but, you know, and he's had this hernia problem. I don't know how long.
Oh, through the on season, and off. This has been for months. Right. Yeah, it's been knocking about.
So, I mean, that can't have, clearly that has got to have a negative effect on your ability, your energy, your, you know, your effectiveness. And maybe he'll come back from his surgery a different player as well, or, you know, a vastly improved player. But it's interesting because it does, you know, that I think that what's happened in the last few games has really thrown up a lot of questions about who gets a regular starting place and who are the players who, are the sort of first names on the team sheet now. And maybe Enzo, I can't see us not playing him or not trying to play him, but maybe he's not so much of an obvious starter in the future. But I want to talk about Trevor because his goal against, it was an absolute belter of a goal. I mean, I know it doesn't look, it's at the end of the day, it's getting a head, you know, and a fairly unchallenged header. On
but
the
from
end of
that
free
distance.
Kick, but, exactly. And the placement of it and the power he got for it. It was a tremendous, tremendous header.
Especially as Chelsea, he was actually taking a step back. Because the cross was just slightly behind him. So it wasn't as if he was attacking that ball. He had to come back and then send it with power.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he had to sort of, use the neck muscles to really get it around there. And, we've talked about this as well. Mooch, he's been in something like 10 of our last 13 defences, most of which have been, all right, we shipped
cobbled.
A lot of, before the last few games, we shipped a lot of goals. But to me, I don't really feel like he's ever let us down. That isn't necessarily a ringing endorsement, but I think he's been, and again on Sunday, he showed, not only resourceful defensive qualities, but an absolute peach of a pass that put Madueke through to set up Jackson for the fourth. Talk to me about his contribution. How do you feel about him, Mooch? Is he someone that you feel... I think we'd all agree, obviously, that we don't want to see the back of Connor. But how about Trevor? It seems that he's even more likely to be out the door over summer. But what do you think?
I mean, we said this about Cucurella at the start of the season. Do you know what I mean? Is he going to be surplus? Do we really need him? And several times throughout the season, he stepped up. Whether he's playing on the wrong side, whether he's an inverted wing back, when we thought we had a wealth of wing backs, and then we don't have any. and I think Trevor's been a constant throughout many Chelsea sides, and he's constantly been reliable. Do you know what I mean? And I think he's been overlooked. He was out of favour. He's playing well. It's going to be horrible to see him go if he does have to go. And I suppose that's the one downside to that we are probably just to go ahead in the sand and not really thinking about it, is that we are going to have to break up parts of this team for financial fair play this summer. If Trevor goes, it will be a shame. Hopefully he doesn't, but I don't see here.
If we work on the basis that Wesley Fofana is going to come back and be, equivalent to the player that we lost, that he was before his injury, obviously that's a player that is likely to be knocking on the door of playing on the first team every week. Admittedly, we are losing Thiago Silva. Rob, what do you think his chances of staying are? Like to see him stay?
I've got written in my notes here, Trevor's defensive work in the last two games has been faultless, so clearly we're going to sell him. I'd like to see him stay. I think he had a sort of dodgy period in his second season here, made a few sort of defensive errors in under Tuchel. I think he's shown himself. I mean, I was a bit worried when he came back into the team this time, but he's been fantastic. I don't think he hasn't put a foot wrong. I think he's actually been the best defender in the last two or three games.
Yeah,
he's His tackling's been faultless, his positioning's been faultless, and like you say, his passing's been absolutely phenomenal. And the way he gets himself out of trouble as well, on the right hand side and in and around the penalty area, I think has been brilliant. So, like I say, he's obviously bound to go, and let's just hope we get as much money as we can for it.
Well, you know, if nothing else, I suppose we could argue that, you know, where we might have got, you know, 15 million for him around Christmas time, we might now get 25 million for him.
I mean, if I was Spurs, I'd pay much more than that for him. He's better than any of their defenders.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I agree. So the second goal, you know, we took a little bit of a buffeting in the second half from Spurs. They were, you know, they can't have been as, I think we possibly let them back in a little bit, but also obviously they had a bit of a rollicking at half time. And so they came out with a little bit more fire and, you know, they had a couple of chances. I mean, there was the first half chance with Romero, and then Brennan Johnson obviously shot across the face of goal. But, I mean, we were in charge of that match pretty much. Jackson, again, talking of good, well-placed, you know, Johnny on the spot headers. And that's a cracking goal as well. I mean, weirdly, I'm going to say this. Cole Palmer had a quiet game by his standards, but then obviously always has a, you know, at least one golden moment in a game, and his was, that was the free kick. That's a tremendous free kick. But Jackson, and obviously then we go on and see him take a couple of goals really well on Sunday against West Ham as well. I mean, he probably rightly came in for a fair bit of stick, not least from me, after the cup semi-final. You've got to give credit where it's due in what has been a very difficult first season. He's now scored whatever it is, 15, 16 goals. Took those two really well, took the goal against Spurs really well. And again, is it a confidence thing? Is he a streak player? What does the future hold for him? I think we've probably said in the past, haven't we, that maybe he won't be our out and out number nine going forward. But again, is he someone that we can see a more long term future for now?
I think so. I think he's looking more and more like a proper striker in this setup where we play sort of one pass quick ball, one touch quick ball. I thought, funnily enough, the Everton game he looked superb. Linking the play up, holding the play. I thought he was instrumental in the first goal. He was causing so many problems in the area for them. I thought he was very good in the first half against Spurs. I thought, funnily enough, the least good he's played was the second half. Even though he scored the goal, I didn't think he was breaking as well as we should have been, and I think that was partly down to him. So I was just want to take you back on that one, Chaz, because you were saying that, you know, we let Spurs back into it a little bit. I think it was deliberate. I think we
hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Money Maker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than 88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Money Maker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I think we played such a high press and such a fast game in that first half. I think we were going to run out of steam if we played that way for the full time.
Yeah.
And I think it was deliberate. I think Poch said, right, let's play low block. And we did. We brought it back. We played the low block, trying to hit over that high defence with our sort of fast players like Jackson.
Mm.
I think it was a great idea. I didn't think it quite worked because I don't think Jackson and Mudrić actually sort of pushed on quite as well as they ought to have done. But I'm not going to criticise him. I think Jackson's been great in the last two games. He's starting to look, I mean, he's way off the real deal, definitely, but he is starting to look like the striker we paid some money for.
Yeah.
He's looking like a bargain, let's be honest. Mm. Like, for £30 million in today's market and to get 13 goals so far in your first season is, like, at the start of the season, we would have said, yeah, I will have that. I mean, admittedly, we've got a midfielder who's broken the 20-goal mark, which is insane as well. But, you know, I know we keep talking on and keep harking on about comparisons with Drogba, but Drogba, he's equaled what Drogba scored in his first year. Mm. Similar amount of starts, probably more goals, probably in the Premier League. But
yeah, more starts, I think. But yeah,
but he also has fucking missed a shitload as well.
That's the problem, isn't it?
That's the problem.
But this is it.
He's missed 25 big chances apparently this season.
And fair play to him. He held his hands up, and he turned around and said, he came out and said, you know, I've missed a lot more than I'd have liked to. So at least he's aware of it.
2 months ago,
of course,
I'd have
he's
said,
aware of it. He's
well,
right
he'd be hard pressed not to be. If he looked at social media, he'd definitely be hard pressed not to be.
But 2 months ago, I'd have said, "There's no chance." You know, if we buy a striker in the summer, there's absolutely no chance he keeps his place. Now I'm looking at it and thinking, look, even if we buy Osimhen, you know, he's got, he's going to have to be shifted out of that place. He's doing okay. He's doing all right.
But I mean, we've said, you know, Mooch, we've said, haven't we, that. You know, maybe there's a role for him like there was in pre-season, being just off a central striker.
100%, yeah. Yeah.
With his pace and his sort of athleticism and his, you know, he can turn players, and obviously he's as long as he manages to stay on side, he can be lethal, not just in, obviously not so much in terms of his actual finishing, but in turning around the, you know, in a quick turnaround. Mm. Breaking down play and getting the ball up front quickly to create chances. I mean, what was the best thing about the Tottenham win for you? Was it just that you didn't have to take any crap from Tottenham supporting friends, or you know, was it about the performance? Was it just about the result? What was it that
first and foremost,
you about
the result? that was what was the best thing about it, and but you know it from that capitulation against Arsenal, then we had a decent performance, really really dogged sort of fight back against Villa. Then we were all shit scared that it's all going to go to shit again. So it was a mixture of sort of just joy at beating Spurs and relief at, oh, these guys can play football. They are putting to some performances together. You can see the team getting better, and all the questions that we were asking four or five games ago: are we improving under Poch? Will he be here? Will he have enough time? Is he gonna get chopped before what he's implementing is bearing fruit on the field. Yeah. And it's kind of, okay, cool. The hard work that is going on, the shit we've had to endure, there are green shoots and there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm. Best thing for me was the train ride home to Enfield. It was brilliant.
Yes, I can imagine you reveled in that. So, that was a fantastic result. And then on to West Ham. And again, I think, you know, given what's happened this season, you know, in our preview show last week, we were talking to Jack, and I think we were all a little bit kind of, it's another one that could go either way. Mm. We've seen one step forward, two steps back so many times this season. But then again, you know, West Ham have been slightly toilet for the second half of the season. So, Rob, what was the mood like in the stands? I couldn't make this game, but I know you were there. What did you... Was there some confidence before we started?
Not beforehand, I don't think. I mean, I don't know why, because we've got a fairly good record against West Ham at home recently. But I mean, you know, there was the away defeat earlier on the season, and there's just been a sort of lack of confidence in general about, sort of, you know, especially when we're sort of playing teams below us. But and you know, for you know me, I mean, I'm never confident before a match anyway, at the best of times. But I'd have to say, I took a look at the team sheet before the game, and you look at the West Ham team, and Antonio and Bowen aside, there's nobody in that side, nobody in that team that frightens you. Funnily enough, it's the same at Spurs, where I looked down the team sheet and I thought, there's nobody in this team that I'm actually bothered about. And you look at it and you just can't see a real problem. And I think from the first 5 minutes, West Ham came at us a bit. And after that, we just pegged them back. And from the goal onwards, I don't think there didn't seem to be a worry in the stands anyway, that we were going to lose this. I mean, I know we had the close chance and the crossbar at 1-0, went and scored the second. And I think from then on, it was just like, this is going to be another very, very good game for us. We just look so good.
Mm. And, you know, it was a delight to see. I mean, whether it was a byproduct of the goals or whether it was already there, I think it was probably already there. Just that confidence seeming to ooze through us. And I feel like that is absolutely personified in the person of Noni Madueke, who is now, for whatever reason, may have sort of started this little run of games in the team really almost by default, but you know, now clearly is in a position where he's, you know, really making his presence felt. He just does seem so full of confidence, and he's added to that by not only improving, you know, that there's, you can see the improvements in his decision making, but also he's even sort of playing a bit more of a defensive role when he has to.
That's made a difference. I mean, I think he actually said that in an interview, he said that Poch had sort of told him to play back and play defensively. I mean, I think he's always had confidence. I think the difference now is that he's putting things into practice. He's making his decisions better. The things are coming off. But he's always had that confidence. He runs at players. He runs at them all the time. He runs into the box. He'll always fancy himself with a shot. I mean, sometimes you just think, no, just, you know, just pass. But 100%. I do quite like that confidence. I do like the way he'll just drive in and drive into the box. And it scares players, I think. You know, he's going to win his penalties as a result, for a start.
Yeah, I mean, I love that he does that. I love that he commits players and takes them on. Mooch, do you think he's also seemingly striking up a little bit of a rapport with Cole Palmer? Do you think he's, given that obviously, you know, Cole is the first name on the team sheet every week, pretty much, is he now making himself undroppable, Nonny?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting sort of formation playing two players on the right, but it seems to be kind of working. I think him and Jackson as well are linking up nicely. I think it's great to see. And what's phenomenal about what we're seeing is this side is the skeleton of what we've got as a team. You know, we had players who I forgot were still here coming on with Nkunku. We've got midfielders that should be slotting into this side, which give us other options. We've got Raheem Sterling on the bench, and he's not got a look in.
We'll come back to that.
I think there's options there, and you know, there's probably going to be another forward player coming in over summer, hopefully, to bolster that front line. But you know, we're scoring goals and we're not conceding. How has this happened?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is like it's the utter reverse of what was happening at the beginning of the season. I mean, Rob Mooch mentions the fact that we've had two clean sheets on the bounce. I mean, do we, notwithstanding that obviously things could have gone slightly differently, and as you've already pointed out, you know, we're playing two teams who are perhaps having a little bit of a slump in form, but you know, do we have to give kudos to the defence now as well?
It's looked more solid, definitely. But I mean, you know, like you say, we played against two teams, not only sort of going in a slump of form, but with piss poor opposition, piss poor attacks. And Spurs is unbelievably bad for a team that's in fourth or fifth there now, isn't it?
I mean, Brennan Johnson was a huge
Johnson was awful. Son
disappointment
was awful
to me.
Yeah, they have. I mean, and,
Son,
So they've been bad for some time. So I think we were lucky to play against attacks that aren't really functioning. I mean, Antonio I was worried about for West Ham, but I mean he didn't get a sniff. There was no forward play to him. We marked him out of the game.
Kudu looked lively, but
goodness, yeah.
But
I think look, Bowen's clearly a good player as well. Mm. But you're right. I mean, Bowen's will be gone this summer. Oh, I would imagine.
Of course.
He deserves some a better.
We can say that they were you know piss poor attacks, but you've still got to defend against them, and you've still got to set up against them, and the setups look very very good. And whether that's strategic and down to Poch, or whether it's to do with, you know, defenders actually getting their head in the game, I don't know. Mm. I mean, having said all that, it's not that long ago. You know, we just looked all over the place against Arsenal. So yeah, you know,
that change. Look, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we're suddenly impregnable, but you know, there's definitely been. Mm. It feels like there's been a sea change between the sort of confusion certainly that we had at the turn of the year, around the turn of the year in defence, and that, you know, there does seem to be a bit more solidity and a bit more organisation. Mm. I mean, it feels like almost everyone's gone up a gear. And, you know, again, that is about, I'm sure, playing together over time, getting some good results behind you, building up personal confidence. But
I was just going to say, before we move on, and we now know that the secret to this is an inverted winger, and there's no other reason. Do we think that Chilwell, if he is coming back into the team, is a player who can also emulate what Cucurella has done? Or do you think he's more of a sort of second winger?
I don't know. When we've played Chilwell this season, we've played him further forward, haven't we?
Yeah.
We haven't even played him as a left back. He's been playing effectively as a left wing. Mm. And I think he probably, if you're gonna sort of move him out of the left back slot, I'm not sure he can play central midfield.
Or do you think Levi Colwell could be more of a centre back, centre mid.
I think Colwell's got a bit more versatility about him. I like Chilwell going forward. I think he's better going forward than. Well, he's certainly better going forward than Cucurella.
I don't think Levi Colwell's totally comfortable playing on the left side.
No.
Playing, you know, wide to the left. A left-sided centre back, fair dues. Mm. And I
but you don't think as a left back? Yeah, that's fair enough.
No, I mean, you know, he didn't disgrace himself, but I think it's not his natural position. It's not his comfortable position.
Mm.
And I think I'd rather have Chilly doing that than Colwell. I think we're a broad church, lads. So I think there's room for everybody. You know, and I'm not ready to consign Chilly to the dustbin of history quite yet. I think he's,
especially as we're going to have to change formations during games as well, and from game to game. So there's going to be games which suit Chilwell better, I think, as well.
And play a lot more games. I would love to get to the point with him, and wouldn't, you know, and obviously, you know, exactly the same as Reece James. Love to get to the point with him where we're actually getting 30 to 35 games out of him a season. But, you know, next year there are going to be a lot more opportunities. And to go back to your original point, I also, talking about Reece James, I think he probably would be very good at doing that move inside if we needed to on the right. Mm. I think he would be, I can see him being adding a real sort of thrust to the defensive midfield side of the game. Excuse me. But I was going to talk about Mudryk, who, you know, as we've said several times on this pod, has clearly got some ability. There's clearly a good player in there somewhere. He is one of those who doesn't really seem to have made a big leap up. Now, he did some very nice things against Spurs, but he also did some quite bad things for every sort of good thing he did. And I actually specifically went back and went through the game and kept an eye on him. Again, he had got himself into some nice positions on Sunday and had two good chances unfortunately, both of which he couldn't take. When everyone's fit, does he stay in the team?
Tricky to say. I mean, I thought he was... I think the trouble with Mudryk is he makes a bad mistake, and that's what we remember. I went back and looked at the highlights, the Spurs one as well, and he actually looked better in the highlights than I'd remembered. There was a couple of stunning passes out to Madueke and a lovely one to Jackson, which proves that he's not just about sort of running very fast and getting past players.
Nice.
We do need the end product. We do need him to connect more. I mean, it's like Mooch was saying, Jackson and Madueke and Palmer seem to have got this understanding between them. They seem to be sort of picking up on each other's balls. And I don't think Mudryk is quite there yet. He doesn't seem to have quite the sort of the immediate understanding of those three players. Exactly. I think that's why a lot of our play goes down the right and he gets left out on the left. And, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, he's so free, just past him. But there's not that connection.
I think the way that we're playing with Cucurella, he's not pushing forward quite so much. He's playing a little bit deeper, and which is good because he's got a bit more space to run into. And when he's further up the pitch, he runs out of pitch, and it seems to be slightly better and more of a okay, cool. It's a threat that's still there, and we can ping it out. And if you are, focusing on the right hand side where we are focusing a lot of our play, it is somewhere that we can just ping that ball, and he's got the legs to run in behind.
It's interesting you both bring that up, the fact that we are focusing a lot of our play on the right, because that has been very noticeable in the last couple of games. But is that a function of Mudryk not being trusted, but maybe just, but as you say, not being on the wavelength? Is it perhaps more about the fact that, as I say, Nonny and Palmer in particular seem to have built up a much quicker rapport? And what I'm trying to ask is he slightly bringing that on himself, or is it more about just the fact that those two guys seem to be working very well together?
I think it's to do with the understanding between the other players. I think he stays in the side at the moment because I don't think there's anybody to play that left role at the moment. Mm. On the other hand, Sterling's now back on the bench. Sterling, we know, can play it. And it may well be that Sterling comes in for the next game as a result. I don't know. I think we'd be talking differently, however. There was a run that Mudryk did against Spurs. He went through five players. It was a Hazard-like run. Mm. And if he'd managed to finish it off, and he very nearly did, we'd be talking about sort of, what a brilliant goal. He's flourished. He's become this fantastic player. I think he needs a little bit of luck. I think he is getting better, but I do think he needs a little bit more, I don't want to say support from... Palmer and Jackson, but there needs to be something. They need to connect together better.
He needs
more
of a partnership with another player.
Mm. Yes, definitely.
100%, because, we know that there's a fit. We've seen enough examples of his...
Refresh the summer vibes with Tic Tac and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TicTacSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TicTacSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
Pretty good finishing when put in a position to know that he can finish. And as you say, Rob, if he'd taken that chance, even got the one from the beautiful Palmer pass against West Ham, again, that may have been a completely, we might be having a completely different conversation. But you both touched on Raheem Sterling. On that subject, Mooch, he was, as you said, he was back on the bench against West Ham, noticeably didn't get brought on for any minutes. What now for him? We've spoken about him before when he's had a little slump and sort of said, he's a very, very talented player, can easily play himself back in. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens against Forest, because the one player arguably that you would think in the front six you might look at rotating would be Mudryk, and as Rob says, the obvious alternative for him would be Raheem Sterling. Do you think he might play?
Yeah, I think that could be an option. I think also Nkunku could be an option, and we could play. And the other thing that I think we're forgetting is that Jackson is also really good coming in off the left. And, you know, we could have Nkunku playing, or we could have Sterling playing, or we could keep Mudryk in the team and he could get more minutes. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Do you know what I mean? So he's not banging him in like we'd hoped. He's not as consistent. But there have been flashes of real brilliance there. Mm. Some great finishing, as you said. And maybe he plays a bit more in the middle.
I think with Sterling, Chaz, I think he does have a role at the club still. If only because all the young players seem to love him. Mm. They're all talking about him as the big brother, and, you know, he looks after us all and stuff. So even if he doesn't get as many games as maybe he would like, and maybe he would have got 2 years ago, I think there is definitely room for him in the first team squad for next season as well. We're going to need, you know, older heads in the squad anyway.
Sure.
And Palmer seems to think he's brilliant. So I keep him for another season.
I don't think there's any doubt that we keep him for another season. I know he frustrates a lot of people. I know, but I think if he's a professional, he will knuckle down and he will have to bide his time and wait for his opportunity. And when that comes, hopefully he steps up, because he was our best player at certain points of the season. You know, he was the one who was creating things at the start. You know, it was like, okay, great, we've got. It didn't last long, but in a season with so many ups and downs, he was great for us at a point, and you just want a little bit of consistency and more end results. You know,
and of course we have seen that. You know, he clearly wants so much to put it right, and he's also said all the right things. He said he wants to stay, and you know, no reason to disbelieve him on that front. So. Yeah, I imagine he will be back in there. And it's nice to hear you guys both also be being positive about him, because as you say, Butch, not everybody in the extended Chelsea family is. Mm. So it's been a terrific few games, lads, as I say, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a massive, you know, we're in seventh, which
I know.
If you'd have said this to us at Christmas, any of us, we all have said you're absolutely barking.
I thought we weren't allowed to get higher than ninth. I thought that was it. we just seem to be stuck there between 11th and ninth. But I mean, since the 15th century, as far as I can tell, didn't matter what we did, we didn't get any higher. And then suddenly we're not just eighth, we're seventh, and we're looking at sixth. I mean, it's nonsense.
I mean, so what do we want from the rest of the season in terms of, I mean, obviously we want to win all our games, clearly. I think we will come seventh, because I don't see... I don't know if Newcastle will drop points. They will be... they're playing Man U, I think, aren't they? They'll win that. Is that right? Have I got that right?
Yes, Man United have got to play Arsenal and Newcastle.
Yeah.
That's two of their three games.
Exactly. So I think Newcastle will end up sixth and we'll end up seventh, which, as long as Man United don't then have a miraculous cup final and beat City.
Charles, you're assuming that Tottenham are going to win a game again this season.
Well, yeah.
They're going to play City.
I think we could take Tottenham. I'm not sure they're going to win another game.
They've got, who've they got? City, Sheffield? No.
Might be Sheffield United if they're lucky.
Yeah, last game of the season they've got Sheffield United, haven't they? I shall look it up as we speak. But Burnley, they're at home to Burnley. Now, admittedly, Burnley are fighting for their survival.
Yep, I'm not convinced they're going to stay fifth.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, that gives us even more wiggle room. But what do we, to get European football? Are we talking about three wins in our last three games? And how confident are you both that we're actually going to manage to do that?
I'm quietly confident we'll take it. Well, I think we do need three. I'm confident of two. I'm less confident of the third. I think we might struggle away to Brighton, but I think we'll win the other two. I think that might. It'll certainly be enough points to take Man United. I think because I can't. I think they've got 3 points at most in them, and their goal difference is so poor. Whether that gets us Europe is, of course, a problem because they might just turn it on in the FA Cup final and take that place away from us. I think the European Conference is probably what we're aiming at, or the UEFA Conference League, as they're going to call it now.
Yeah,
I've got no problem with that. I don't mind. I like being in Europe. I don't care who we play. It's a competition we haven't won. So, you know, bring it on.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, it's something that might have worried me. I wasn't sure if we were ready for it. But, you know, if playing like we're starting to play and hopefully at the beginning of next season having a, if not full roster of our squad available to us, but, you know, the majority of them, then, you know, that's got to be we've got to... The depth of our squad has got to be within our favour, certainly.
Has anyone come up with any answers as to why everyone is fucked? Like
generally,
yeah. No, no, is it are Poch's training sessions too intense? Are the doctors just?
He claims to be baffled. Poch claims to be baffled by it as well. So what? And it does seem to be that, you know, a lot of them do happen in training, or they seem to get an injury in a match and either worsen it in training or have a setback or whatever. So somebody has got to be asking the right sort of questions. And I know there's been a lot of talk about looking at the data and blah, 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 blah.
Well, one of the problems has been the long-term injuries. I mean, you can cope with quite a lot of short-term injuries if they're only three or, you know, if you've got 10 injuries and they're all sort of 3 weeks-ish, three weeks each.
But that's what most of these long-term ones have been.
Yeah, but we've had Fofana out. For two seasons. We've had Nkunku out basically for all season. Who else have we had? Lavia out. These players, I mean, you know, it's not just one injury effectively. It's effectively taking three players out of the squad for the entire season.
But what now, I'm saying is
Lavia was injured before coming to us.
Yeah.
Fofana was injured way before Pock. I mean, he was injured in training under Potter, wasn't he, in a match, if I remember right. And Nkunku gets injured in pre-season on a stupid pitch and then you know, screws up in a game. I'm not sure these things are anything other than bad luck.
But the injuries have been different as well. So that this is what I'm saying. They're not long-term injuries like the Lavia one. They're separate injuries. His knee was one injury, and then the second injury, which I still don't even know what it is.
Oh, that was picked up in training, wasn't it? If I remember right.
Yeah, and then he came back on and then did something again. And Nkunku, again, it was a hip or was it muscle injury? Yeah. It's odd. There's something up, and it needs to get fixed. I mean, there's talk that, you know, that we're not the only team who've had bad injuries all season, but
we had 14 players out for the Spurs game. That, you know, that tells you a story, and it's been hovering around that number the whole of the season. So I know Newcastle have had a terrible season in terms of injuries. So you know, there are other clubs that have suffered definitely, but it has been ridiculous for us, and it obviously has been a factor. But I mean, if we are. So, I mean, it's funny that you should say that about Brighton, Rob, being one that you're concerned about, because Brighton are actually playing us, Newcastle and Man U. That's their last 3 games.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're playing Man U at home on the last game of the season. They're playing us midweek, but they're playing Newcastle this weekend. So it's...
I don't know why I'm worried about it, because they've been so rubbish for the last, you know, few months, but...
I know what you mean. They've just turned
us over so often in the last few seasons.
Yeah, and you know, they have. You might say that they have more reason than most to to hold a grudge about us. But there's been some very ill-advised Billy Big Bollock stuff from their supporter base on on social media, which has gone very quiet recently. Obviously, they've had a bit of a downturn in form. But, I mean, they had a very positive home win at the weekend. They've got to go to Newcastle this weekend, but then us the following Wednesday. I think it's one that could go either way. I mean, I we'll talk about the Nottingham Forest game a little bit later, but, I think we've got to win our three. But if we do that, I think we're definitely in seventh, and I think then it's all down to the cup final.
Mm. I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, that's cleared that one up then. Well, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk on the back of, what has been a tremendous week for the team. And it's also great to be talking about us looking upwards. I mean, and this is the thing, after a season that has been, toilet in very many ways, we're coming to the end of the season with a sense of optimism looking upwards when, we could very easily be Manchester United fans, even Tottenham fans, certainly West Ham fans, all seeing it all sort of slightly coming crumbling down. So that's got to be a bonus, isn't it?
Oh, it's definitely. It's a shame it didn't happen early in the season. So we'd have a few more games to enjoy it. But it just feels like it's come a little bit too late. But yeah, it's weekends like this one that we've just had. We beat Spurs on Thursday. We thrashed West Ham on Sunday. Man United lose 4-0 to Palace. Tottenham lose. And then, for me personally, to cap it all off, though the Chelsea women as well, winning 8-0 at Bristol, and Man City women losing as well, to have that. And from my own personal point of view, Enfield Town getting promoted as well. It's been one of those weekends where you just absolutely you fall in love with football again, as far as I'm concerned. So, having that sort of form over the last couple of weeks, to be able, to hope that we can extend it for another couple of weeks, I just wish there was another month to play, where you could
Yeah, so we can continue this and the vibes remained. Well, gentlemen, it's, as I say, it's lovely to finish on a positive note, and long may that continue. Rob, it's been lovely to have you back, mate. Thank you
always
so
pleasure.
Much. And we'll bring you back for our preview, Nottingham Forest preview show, if we may. And Mooch, blinder as ever, mate. You've played a blinder. Good to have you both. And we will be back for our preview show. Listen out for that. Until then, keep the blue flag flying high.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.